Hello, and welcome to Practical Significance, a podcast to inspire listeners with compelling stories from statistics and data science and to propel data-driven careers forward. Here are your hosts, the ASA's Director of Strategic Initiatives, Donna Lalonde, and Executive Director, Ron Wasserstein.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Practical Significance. We thought it would be fun for me to be able to turn the tables on Ron and ask him some questions. It gives us an opportunity to look back at JSM 2021, talk about what keeps the executive director of the ASA up at night, and what's upcoming for the ASA community. With that intro, let me share that this really is going to be a lot of fun. Ron and I have been colleagues for more than 30 years. I might add we met in preschool, in case any of you were wondering. So it's really my pleasure to be able to talk to him in his role as executive director. So Ron, I guess my first question for you is, what are the highlights for you from JSM 2021?
Yes, Don, I do miss those preschool days. They don't seem all that long ago now. So JSM 2021 is just coming to an end as we're recording this podcast, and I had such a good time. And it's not easy to pick a highlight, but I'll pick some. I think I'll start by saying that what I saw and what I heard was a community that's eager to gather. And so people gathered as best we could with the online platform, but I heard so much excitement and hope about the prospect for gathering together in person. I heard from a lot of people too, that even though we will be gathering together again in person someday, hopefully someday soon, the hopes that there can remain to be some sort of hybrid option. And maybe we'll talk about that a little bit more later on. But as for other highlights, Donna, well, I always enjoy plenary sessions. But this year were particularly outstanding. And while they were all good, and I enjoyed all of them, I will highlight the Vivian Meng presentation and also Rob Santos's presentation, because they were so personal. They really brought their vulnerable selves to their presentations. And it just opened up a lot of insight into how they were thinking and just the ways of thinking that others have that we don't necessarily all share, but ought to learn from. So those were great. I'm sure that you heard a lot of really interesting sessions too. So even though the tables are supposed to be turned this way, I certainly want to kick back to you and say, you know, Donna, what were your JSM 2021 highlights?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. Well, first off, I had the pleasure of being a part of the first time attendee orientation. And even though that was a big group, so we didn't have time to really hear everybody's stories, it was really fun to see the enthusiasm with which these first time attendees were approaching JSM. So that gives me a lot of hope for JSM 2022, when these are more experienced folks and they will have made their submissions for contributed or invited sessions. And so that was very, very cool. And then I have to say that I really enjoyed the opening mixer. And Ron knows that sometimes mixers are hard for me. And so it was really nice to be able to be in my living room, actually, and watch my much more talented colleagues interact. And so a big shout out to all of the folks who played the game. That was really amazing.
I want to mention, too, before you go on, and please do go on, but I want to compliment you on a great job of organizing that mixer. And also, I sat in on the first timers reception mixer as well. And I heard that same enthusiasm that you did. And I also heard just a large amount of generous spirit on the part of the experienced people that came. They were so willing to share their experiences, to offer to help. They gave great advice to the first time folks. And I hope that people who wanted to attend that session but couldn't will be sure to catch the recording. So yeah, what else was on JSM 2021 that excited you?
Okay, so I have two more. And so the first one is, I actually heard the session that you chaired on R.A. Fisher and eugenics, and it was fantastic. The presentations were really interesting. The perspectives by all of the different panelists was amazing. And so I really want to encourage folks, if they were not able to attend that session, to go back and listen to the recording. And I guess I should put in a plug for going back and listening to the recording to many of the sessions that you were not able to attend. That is certainly one of the benefits of the virtual conferences, is we have the recordings, because I know we all always face the, but I want to go to this one and this one and this one, and we have to choose. And then I guess the final one, I'm going to give a little bit of a behind the scenes view of JSM and give a shout out to our colleagues in the meetings department and the folks at Pathable who supported the conference. So as some folks may know, the very beginning of the day on Thursday, there was a bit of a challenge, and many of us were not able to, early in the morning, were not able to access the platform. And so we had a Slack channel that connected all of us who were helping behind the scenes. And I just have to say, the energy that was being brought, like at, 6:30 in the morning, to solving this problem and figuring out how we were going to make the last day of the conference as successful as the other days of the conference was just actually super amazing. And Ron, I know you know this, but we have great colleagues, and I'm sorry that they had to deal with all of that stress, but it really did make me smile at actually how everyone did it with such good humor. And, in the all's well that ends well, problems were solved and a successful day was had by all. So
that's exactly right. And I'm glad you pointed out our great colleagues on the meeting staff and elsewhere in the ASA office. I know that they were really sweating it on Thursday morning, but they came through, as you said. And also, as you said, Donna, even though we just had a few minutes here to single out a few things, there were hundreds of great sessions at JSM 2021. And it's terrific that those sessions will be available for people to go and browse. And as always, all of the plenary sessions will be publicly available on the general JSM website, where you can go back and not only see this year's plenaries, but plenaries from years past as well. And that's a public resource. It doesn't have to require attendance at JSM 2021.
I know that we need to move on, but I guess I just can't resist. I said saying one more. I did have the opportunity to listen to the panel that my colleagues who had to teach through the pandemic presented. And that was really fantastic to hear all of the things that they did to make the experience for their students positive. And I guess I was especially interested that they all were willing to look back and say lessons learned, and to say how even hopefully post COVID-19, the things that they actually learned that will change their teaching practice. And we have such amazing colleagues in the education sphere that they're always thinking about how to improve. Okay, so Ron, I don't want to add to your stress, but I know that there are some things that you think about that keep you up at night. I've actually been the recipient of a few late night texts or late night emails from you. And so I know that your mind is spinning. What's on your mind? What's keeping you up at night? And of course, if you want to talk about how the community can engage and help relieve your stress, that's fine too.
So Donna, if by a few text and late night emails you mean hundreds, then yes, we have had plenty of those conversations. Well, there are a lot of things to think about. I will mention two, but I will preface both of them by saying that I'm super excited about the American Statistical Association, and I love my job. I can't imagine a better job for me. So the two things that I will highlight, first of all, is membership. And in particular, what I'm thinking about is how can we continue to understand what our members want and provide that to them? How can we figure out what people who aren't yet members of the ASA, or who perhaps were members of the ASA and have given up on ASA membership, what it is that they need to want to continue to be a part of this community? And of course, we're constantly thinking about what groups of people do we need to be reaching and how to do that. The measurement problem, the problem of figuring out what it is that people want and need getting them to tell you and so on is a difficult problem and one that we're working on. It's always a challenge to find the right sampling frame, I guess I'll say, to really gauge that sort of opinion. So what can people do in that regard? Well, they can write us, either you or me. For me, it's ron@amstad.org, and for you, donna l@amstad.org, and tell us what they're thinking, and especially if they have some insights from colleagues that are not members, what those people are telling them that is the reason why they don't join, or what it would take for them to be involved. So I definitely am thinking all the time about our membership, both our current membership and people that I hope will become members of the ASA. And the second thing I'll choose is thinking about the future of our meetings. Everyone that I talk to says that they're eager for in-person meetings, but I also hear from a lot of people who say that it might be a long while before they are able to attend an in-person meeting, before they are financially able to, before their workplaces will free them to be able to do that, before they will feel safe to attend an in-person meeting. And so they don't want to lose the benefits of the virtual aspect of the meetings that we have had to have in this past 18 months or so. There's also a recognition that there will be a large number of people for whom it is very unlikely that they will be able to travel to a meeting, to a JSM, for all kinds of reasons. Again, it could be financial reasons. It could be work-related reasons. It could simply be distance, that it's just not practical to do. And so I hear from a lot of people who say we need to have a hybrid element of the meeting. And I think everybody involved in ASA leadership agrees with that. The tricky part, Donna, is what that hybrid meeting will look like. And now I am speaking just for myself and not for the ASA leadership, the rest of the ASA leadership. And that is that I don't think an effective hybrid meeting is one where you have people in person and you have people online and they're all trying to share the same experience. So you have people in a room who are leading a session and people in the room who are attending the session. And then you have those people who are remote and they're trying to participate in that same session, sort of along the lines of the people who are there. And similarly, not sure how really practical it is to have two of the speakers in the room and one of the speakers remote. You can certainly do all those things. It's not that you can't do them. My concern is that what is the experience for everybody involved? How good of an experience will it be? Or put another way, how can we maximize the quality of the experience for the people who are attending in person and for the people who are attending remotely? So my current thinking, subject to change, and I will address specifically how that change could happen, is that perhaps we need to design a hybrid meeting so that it is to a large degree, an in-person meeting somewhere and a hybrid meeting online, and they're not trying to be the same thing. Each meeting tries to bring out the best aspects of that particular meeting format. And so rather than finding the lowest common denominator, you find some way to make both meetings up. Do I have that figured out? I sure don't. So we welcome people who are listening to this podcast and others to talk to us about what a good hybrid meeting would look like for them and just even how important having hybrid meetings in the future are. I'll just finish by saying that we're also thinking that maybe some meetings, not necessarily JSF, but maybe some meetings are better off being virtual meetings. And maybe that's the format that we should continue. So lots of things to think about. And membership and meetings are certainly those lay awake at night dreaming and wondering about.
Yeah, Ron, those are obviously things that we've talked a lot about, that the board has talked a lot about. And so I guess I just wanted to reiterate that we would really like to hear from folks, and that if they want to invite you and me, whatever, to a virtual coffee or tea or beverage of your choice, we're happy to set up a Zoom meeting. We're happy to think about engaging in whatever way makes the most sense. And I guess I just also want to say that I think both you and I really are approaching these issues with a very open mind. So folks don't have to feel like there's something we want to hear. We just really want to hear what they think. So I hope that in the next couple of months, there's lots of conversation.
I agree with that. So I'm eager to hear other perspectives as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Just prior to JSM, we had the ASA board meeting, and of course it was virtual. It was 3 days of really amazing conversation, and I'm just really grateful to be a part of the professional staff and to be able to work with such amazing folks who are on the board of directors. And a number of things emerged from the meeting, but I wanted to focus on one, and that is that we spent a fair amount of time during one day talking about the need to bring more diversity to ASA publications and thinking about that really broadly to who's publishing, who the reviewers are, who the editors are, who the associate editors are. So it was a really important conversation with many facets. And I think we agreed during that meeting to form a task force to continue that conversation. And I wondered if you could talk a little bit about how you see this unfolding.
Sure, thanks. That was a great discussion at the board meeting. We had a number of different perspectives, not just from the board, but great panel of people that we brought in to discuss the issue. And it's not an ASA-only issue. It's certainly across STEM fields, gender and other diversity in publications from soup to nuts is a serious issue. And so we're going to see what we can do to take that on. And we know that there aren't easy fixes. There isn't something where we just grab off bunch of low-hanging fruit or do something that makes the numbers look better. We want to seriously think about what the root causes of the lack of diversity are and address those root causes. We'll pull together task force, just as you mentioned, on a short timeline, that is a few months, to report back to the board near the end of the year. And it'll be a group of people with diverse expertise and perspectives. The big idea is to think about the whole process from authorship to review to editor decisions and ultimately to publication and what it is that we need to do to diversify our authorship, to diversify people on editorial boards. How can we better prepare a diverse group of people to serve as editors? So this task force has a charge and they're up to it. And so we really look forward to meeting with this group as it gets pulled together. I'm sure they will be asking for feedback from members. And ultimately, the goal is to have some very specific actions that we can take to change the diversity in our publications. We all agree that it's a problem that we're losing out because we're not as inclusive as we need to be. We're missing important voices in the research community because of inherent problems with the structure that many times we're not even aware of, maybe most of the time we're not aware of, but that we can fix. And so looking forward to that process unfolding soon.
You know, Ron, that actually made me think about another JSM highlight, because it was also a presentation to the board. And that was the presentation by David Marker and Adrian Coles on the preliminary findings of the anti-racism task force. And I know David and Adrian also chaired an open session, but in the spirit of encouraging people to reach out, that's another topic area that's really important to us. And I know that the anti-racism task force has a community site, which we can include in the show notes. And so if folks were not able to see the presentation or not able to attend JSM, the slide deck from the presentation is on the website. And there's also a link to a feedback form. So wanted to make sure that we highlighted that and encourage folks to take time to review at least the slides and to provide feedback, because that's another group that is just working so incredibly hard to bring thoughtful recommendations to the ASA to basically make our community stronger. Okay, so I'm going to shift gears just a little bit and ask you to think about your role as the executive director of the ASA and what you're thinking about in regard to the ASA community. Now I'd like to know a little bit about what are you listening to? What are you reading? What are you spending time when you're not being executive director of the ASA?
Well, it's been quite a summer, Donna. As we speak and recording this podcast, I'm in the car rolling towards Kansas, where my youngest daughter is getting married. I'm thankful for my son, who is driving us, so I'm free to talk on this podcast. And we had another child get married earlier this summer, so it's been busy. But there's still time for things that are fun to do that my wife and I enjoy doing together. As you know, Donna, I love audiobooks. So I've listened to a bunch of audiobooks, and I get so many great recommendations from members that I can hardly keep up with them. So I'll just mention two at the moment. So I've just started listening to a very interesting book called Robert E. Lee and Me, and I recommend it highly. I heard about it from a couple of places, a review in the New York Times, but also on Jonathan Capehart's podcast. And I'm just partway through, but it's really an interesting and important historical perspective. And I love fiction, and I have a huge soft spot for Frederick Backman books. So I just read both books in his Beartown series this summer. I should say, listen to those books. And he really has a way to sneak up on you and write a sentence that just comes out of the blue and strikes you right in the heart. It's just such a delightful way. Sherry and I also enjoy musical theater. We're not able to exactly attend a theater, so we've been watching a lot of musical movies spanning, you know, all the way from In the Heights very currently to going clear back to Singing in the Rain. So it's been fun to browse those sorts of things too. So Donna, I'll throw out one more. If people haven't discovered the British comedy series Taskmaster, it's available free on YouTube. And oh my goodness, it's hysterical.
Well, that's great. And of course, Ron, I have to say that I know that both you and I spend a fair amount of time listening to podcasts as well. Obviously, we had the Practical Significance episode where we were joined by our colleagues who are part of ASA-sponsored podcasts, and those are always high on my list. But I have to say that I am also enjoying the Cultural Gab Fest from Slate. It has really become a regular in my playlist. So new episodes are released on Wednesday, and I basically listen every Wednesday. I haven't missed many, if any. So I would toss that out as something that a podcast that you might want to add to your listening rotation. And then I have to say at JSM, we hosted the PSTAT, GSTAT accreditation reception. We tried something different. We tried a spatial chat world, and it was a lot of fun. But Anna Nevius, who is my partner in crime on many initiatives, so a big thank you to Anna for actually helping me a lot with the first timers reception. But she shared a book that her book club read, The Secrets Between Us. And I just got it. It looks incredibly interesting. So if you're looking for another read, The Secrets Between Us comes highly recommended from Anna. So we know that that's a recommendation that we can trust.
Yes, it is. Outstanding. And thanks for the podcast recommendation. I have a whole podcast library that I would say 2/3 of it comes from recommendations I've gotten from you. So thanks again.
Yeah, it's actually a lot of fun to add podcasts. And I think what I really like about the podcasts is that they're in all different genres and they're at all different lengths, right? So depending on my mood and the time that I think I can spend, I can find just the perfect podcast, both in terms of content and length. So that's a lot of fun. Well, as listeners of Practical Significance know, we have come to that time of the podcast where we have to have Ron's top 10. So, Ron, over to you.
Well, thanks, Donna. And I have really enjoyed the conversation today. Yes, it is time for the top 10 list. And we have something a little different. This is the top 10 list of things that there probably aren't at least 10 of. Okay, so everything on this list is something that there probably aren't at least 10 of. And here's the top 10 of those. Number 10, moments when you thought, wow, I need to gain some weight. Number 9, fun reasons to go to the dentist. Number 8, instances when you agreed with the referees who rejected a paper of yours. Number 7 on the top 10 list of things there probably aren't at least 10 of, Olympic water polo players you can name. Number 6, pleasant things about traffic. Number 5, favorite life moments that involved a Zoom meeting. Donna, I'm guessing you don't have any of those on your list. Number 4, pictures of yourself that you really like. Number 3, people who sincerely apologize for horrible things they have tweeted. Number 2, when you did anything your teenagers actually thought was cool. And the number 1 thing there probably aren't at least 10 of, times you closed Facebook after just one cute pet video. So Donna, that's the top 10 list for this week. Thanks again for a lovely conversation. And we thank you, Practical Significance podcast listeners, for joining us again this month. And we will see you in October.
Thanks so much, Ron, and thanks to everyone. As always, we are delighted to have your suggestions. So stay in touch. And as Ron said, we'll see you in October.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Practical Significance, the podcast of the American Statistical Association. A new episode will be coming your way next month from AmStat News, the ASA's monthly membership magazine.